Hey, Jay.
Hey there, Larry.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, good. I had a few weeks of vacation.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I spent it as a mango grove.
Oh.
I was a mango grove in Uttar Pradesh in India.
Wow.
How was it
being a mango grove?
It's very calming.
Yeah.
It's very humid. And then people start ripping pieces of you.
Ow.
Off.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, that was the not so good part of being a sentient mango grove.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking.
It did.
Yeah. Once I was no longer a mango grove.
Once you were no longer a mango grove. I'm glad that worked out for you.
Yeah, yeah. I had good conversations with Swamp Thing while I was a mango grove.
He's a good person to talk to.
We talked to in the green. He has really negative things to say about Man Thing.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Who doesn't?
Anyway, so it got
but
me thinking.
But I have a question, though.
Oh, right.
Before we get to your thinking.
Right.
Does being a mango grove in India, does that help with the jet lag or hurt with the jet lag?
It kind of helped.
Yeah?
Because you could just kind of lay around as a mango grove.
Oh, that's true.
So anyway, my thinking.
What's your thinking?
I thought about food because people were consuming me.
Yeah, you were food.
I was food for a few weeks. And wow. I was being consumed. I was sweet, delicious food.
That's true. Mangoes are the sweetest and most delicious of foods.
Hard to cut, but yes.
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 So messy.
Yeah. Messy and sweet and delicious.
This is starting to get weird.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was thinking about food in science fiction, fantasy, and comic books.
Wow.
I know.
That's a big deal.
I think this is going to be a more hard-hitting episode than our fashion episode.
I think this might be. I think we got a lot of serious things to talk
about. Yes. Because I was thinking about food and science fiction. And, like, you know, science fiction, movies, TV shows. And for the most part, they don't really, like, deal with the food issue. Like,
no.
Star Trek kind of, like, skips out, like, okay, we have food replicators.
They have replicators. And there are various sorts of food stuffs that come up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the replicators can make anything.
Right.
Though, generally, they're making beverages.
We rarely
see people eat.
See, that's in your... Yeah, well, but see, in the Star Trek original series, there was, like, a mess hall. Like,
that's
they
right.
had scenes.
Yeah, no.
But they were eating kind of, like, colorful Play-Doh-looking things.
Yeah, yeah, and it was definitely, like future food.
It was future food.
Which is always the thing, is that, like, future food, I feel, is always less than food. It's colorful, but it's always, like, here's a protein paste that solves all of your food needs.
But it might be very delicious food paste.
It could be, but it never seems like they don't seem to eat for pleasure.
That's true. I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, Scotty drank for pleasure.
That's right. They drink for pleasure.
To forget his nightmares.
They drink their Romulan ales.
Yeah.
And the what's it, brandy? Saurian brandy?
Saurian brandy.
Yes. So there's lots of alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but,
to kill the taste of the food paste.
And then in the one movie, when they had the Klingons over, they had traditional Klingon
fare. Star Trek
6. That's right.
On an insider note.
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, in movies, you know, when you're shooting a movie, you don't generally eat the food because, like, it's under lights and you'll be eating food all day for continuity's sake.
Right.
But Nicholas Meyer, director of Star Trek VI, and alumni of the University of Iowa.
Whoa.
So that's two facts.
That's two.
He apparently needed the cast to eat food.
Interesting.
Or he desperately wanted them to, and he offered them money.
Wow.
Like, if you know, the more you, you know... If you for every bite I will give you, I'm going to make up a number, $1,000.
Right.
That's a totally made up number. But he offered the money. Yeah. Guess which is the only cast member to eat the alien food?
I'm going to guess that was Mr. William Shatner.
Yes, it was Mr. William Shatner.
Because he always says yes.
And he walked away with a lot of cash.
Yes, good
for him. Walked
away
with $1 million.
Good for him.
Yeah. Fun fact.
That is a fun fact. You know what's great is that despite all of that,
yeah,
Galaxy Quest makes fun of Star Trek and their food.
That's
in
true.
A really great way.
Because, I think you explain that way.
Well,
by Grathar's hammer, you should explain
by
it.
By Grathar's hammer, because there's a scene where the crew of the Galaxy Quest are feted by their alien hosts, and they're provided the food meant for each of their regions, their planet of origin. So, of course, Tim Allen, as the Captain Kirk, gets Iowa, corn-fed Iowa beef from the replicators, but poor, the late, great Sir Alan Rickman gets some weird beetle soup.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not eat the beetle soup. But it is interesting, like, I don't remember them ever eating in Next Generation.
No. They rarely...
Like, do you think, like, Guinan would serve appetizers? Like, would
she
have apps?
Like, that's... Well, no, you know what? They do have food.
Well, they must have food, or they're not
Again, they have food when there's, like, events. Deanna Troi has a thing for chocolate sundaes.
Or the Deanna Troi birthday cake and Davis dreams.
That's right.
That is not erotic in any way.
There is cake. And there's also a cake for one of the alternate universes of Worf's birthday.
Yeah, huh. It takes an alternative universe for Worf to get a cake.
But there was definitely food, but they rarely built things around the food.
Yeah.
The food was incidental at best.
It seemed like Sook Picard could have a moment of Britishness,
right,
being French. But like, because I was also thinking about Battlestar Galactica, the new Battlestar. I don't remember a mess hall.
I feel like there was a mess hall when they were still on Earth, but I don't know if the Battlestar had a mess hall.
Yeah, I never thought, but there was a bar.
Because
towards the end of the last few seasons, there's the piano,
right,
with the, you know, the magical...
The magical Jimi Hendrix riff.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Jimi Hendrix is a Cylon. But I don't remember, like, and you would think, like where do they get the food in Battlestar Galactica?
I mean, they must have replicas or replicators or
But if they
stores.
Had replicators...
But again, I feel like it's future food where it's like, here's your you know,
see,
food chip.
But I feel
Eat
like...
your food chip and there you go. It's all Soylent Green.
Oh, we need to talk about Soylent Green,
I mean,
of course. Which is the finest food.
Which is the finest future food ever.
Spoilers.
You
know what's interesting?
It's people.
What's funny
is... Or the Futurama joke that I love. What's the secret of Slurm? It's made of people. No, there's already a soda like that. Soylent Cola. How is it? It varies from person to person.
Boy, it's interesting about Soylent Green.
Yeah.
Because that's like... That's the big reveal at the end.
It is.
And unfortunately, it is so a part of popular culture now.
It's totally ruined, but
it's totally
that movie
ruined.
Is still amazing. And if you're listening to this and you have not seen Soylent Green,
still see,
Soylent Green. It's great.
Even
it's
though
Edward G. Robinson's
made
last
of
performance.
People.
Yes, we all know it's made of people. It's still a really great movie.
Yeah. About overpopulation.
Yes.
And how do we solve the food crisis
exactly.
that would happen in an overpopulated world?
Exactly.
We eat the old.
Yep.
And the dead.
Yes.
Another
movie that solves the food crisis, Snowpiercer. You're not a Snowpiercer fan?
I'm not a fan of the
Citizen Kane of train-based class allegories?
Well, it is a limited field of options, so I would agree that it is the Citizen Kane
of train-based class allegories.
Yeah, but I feel like... It's a little overrated. Because sometimes I wonder, why don't they just, like, chop off the end of a cart? Oh, we're too overpopulated. Chunk! Just let a piece of the train go.
I don't know. I feel like that was already the decision they'd made. And for whatever reason, they need the people. They've got it. It's like a terrible system.
But I don't know why they need the people.
Because they need the little people to, spoiler alert, operate the engine in the front.
Yeah.
And so they need to have people to supply that.
Yeah, but
and
you just
to
need
do
the,
other things. I don't. It's just, a train based allegory. It's a train based class allegory.
But it's not.
It's not all one to one.
It's no Animal Farm. Let's
it's
put it
no
that
Animal
way.
Farm. But
yeah, I don't know.
And I really liked it, but I did find it sort of silly. The utter horror, the food that the people in the back of the train, spoiler alert, are not forced to eat. They're given to eat these gelatinous blocks.
Yeah.
And then there's a point in the middle of the movie where they discover, with unending horror, that the gelatinous blocks are ground up bugs.
Yeah.
And that we are treated as though that is the worst thing that could possibly ever happen.
Which I kind of think about, like, there's several cultures in probably, like, South America that are like, no, I eat
that's
bugs.
All right.
Bugs are good. They're high in protein.
Yeah, they're like, very high in protein. And they are crushed up. They're not, like, handing you here, eat this live cockroach.
Yeah.
They're killed, they're crushed up, and made into a, you know, gelatinous block.
Like Jell-O.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is the people at the back of the train were just whiny bitches.
What I'm saying is more that while I wouldn't say the movie's overrated because don't get me started on that whole the whole concept of overrated, I would say that it takes itself a little too seriously at times, and that's one of those moments where it's like, okay, guys.
I think if it had a kind of a campier, because I think it's, and of course we're getting a little off subject, but I think it's very visually stunning, and I think the idea is so interesting.
It's so interesting
based on a comic book.
And it's such a weird movie.
It's a weird movie, but like Tilda Swinton's like fantabulous in it. Like she's fantastic. But like, there's a certain parts of it that like, if it had just a little Like, if it was a Roger Corman movie, like, right. It would be amazing.
Exactly. It needed that sort of spark of fun that it does not have.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little self-serious. We are an allegory. Yeah, it's leaning a little too hard on the allegory and not enough on the, like, we're a train that goes around the earth.
Now, as we move on here, I have a question.
I have another question.
Remind me if we have settled this.
Uh-huh.
Where are we slotting Indiana Jones in this?
Oh, is science fiction fantasy?
Is he in this?
I think he would be. He's speculative fiction.
Definitely speculative fiction. I mean, I would say fantasy.
Yeah, I would agree.
Except for that other movie that we don't like to talk about, but we just simply must.
I would say it's which space is science fans. Fiction. You can say, it's...
Which is my issue as to why I don't talk about it.
I think what we can say about Indiana Jones, the character of Indiana Jones is a device, much like the spirit that is the spirit comic book, not like
The God's Holy spirit.
Not the Holy Spirit. But Indiana Jones is a great device to be able to tell different kinds of genre story.
I firmly and solidly disagree with nearly everything you've just said, but that's okay.
What do you mean?
Indiana Jones, okay. Okay, well, just be sorry,
we'll get back
everyone.
To the food.
We're going to get back to the
food.
Because
I have a feeling I know where he's going to go with the food.
You know where I'm going with the food.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going with the food.
Yeah,
But Indiana Jones is, as originally conceived and as presented in three films, is not an archetype. He is a fantasy character living in a fantasy world where there is magic and mysticism that goes unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is a creature of that world. He is within that genre.
Yeah.
Of 1930s fantasy adventure serials.
But if you're going to... Right, but I think there's a little bit of hair's
whereas
breath.
That other movie is a science fiction movie awkwardly surrounded by a fantasy character.
Right.
And that is... It doesn't
but
work.
But this
it fails miserably.
But see, I disagree somewhat with your premise. See, I'm being generous. I'm saying somewhat. Because I don't see Indiana Jones, to me, as a character that is also emulating the movies of the period it's set in. So, like, for example, Last Crusade, the worst of them, of the original three. And Raiders of the Lost Ark are both, like, the Republic serials of the time.
Okay.
They're a little high concept. And they're set in the 40s. Or, like,
right.
A little closer to the 40s and World War II. Whereas... Temple of Doom, which I think is kind of an underrated, albeit slightly racist movie, especially as
we're coming around
on
the food.
Yeah. See, I'm setting up the food. Is set in the earlier 30s, earlier 30s, and it's more like the Doc Savage mysticism, you know, the Oriental mysteries of blah blah blah. So that's why I don't mind that Indiana Jones in the 50s. And the Russian craziness and the alien invasion movies meets aliens.
I don't so much mind the meeting aliens.
Right.
I would have been more fine with it if they had stuck with the meeting aliens as opposed to what they did. And this is the part that's awkward and it's the part that ruins it for me. Basically bait and switching us and saying it's an Indiana Jones movie about archaeology and ancient religions, but wait, no, the ancient religions were actually aliens. I'm like, nope, now you fucked up.
Yeah.
Now you done goofed.
Here's a question, though, and then we'll get to the food question.
Yes.
The TV show.
Which I'm not that well versed in. The Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Which, if we're talking special edition issues, boy, that TV show has had, like, they have revamped that shit crazy times. But do you consider those movies as a part of the Indiana Jones canon and a part of the character?
I would say yes.
Because then you should look at those, because there's like there's a story where he meets Kafka, and it's kind of Kafka-esque. There's a
I am not disputing your premise. I'm saying that the fourth movie simply doesn't work because it tries to have it both ways.
I think the fourth movie doesn't work because it's just not very good.
But I'm just saying that's why it's not very good, is that it tries to have it both ways, where if they'd made the fourth movie like Them or The Blob, I would have been fine.
I think part of the problem is I don't think it was necessarily the aliens. I think it's that Spielberg, Lucas, and Ford were trying to emulate... What they had done 20 years prior.
And they,
rather than advancing the character forward.
Right.
Because I think that's a good example of this desire for nostalgia.
Right.
We want our characters to be frozen in time.
Right.
Like, I would have loved it if they didn't have the whip and the leather jacket and the fedora.
Like, or even if he added them as he went along. Like, he had to rediscover these things.
Yeah, that would have been more interesting than, like, okay, he's been frozen in time. For, like,
and it's, everything is the same.
So,
But to the food
point. To the food point.
Indiana Jones, which is my favorite one on the Temple of Doom.
Yeah, yeah.
Hella racist. And... Yeah. That food sequence is...
You don't like monkey brains.
It is both amazing and horrible.
Yeah. It's
particularly the big snake filled with little snakes that apparently they eat raw. Those eels? I don't know what those
eels.
Are.
I think they're eels. But my question is, how do you get it... How do you, like, stuff them all in? Like,
mouth?
Through the mouth? Or you cut something in and then you stuff them?
Or maybe it's sewn on the other side?
Yeah, but, like... And why would you stuff it in there if, like, you're not going to cook it?
I know. I mean, it does make for some pretty amazing presentation.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
That is...
But nothing better than the eyeball soup.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't... Like, would eyeballs actually add flavor? Or eyeballs...
It depends on the eyeballs.
Here's a question. Are the eyeballs in the soup... Is it eyeball soup?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it soup and the eyeballs are flavor to the soup? Like, you know, you've added in some salt and pepper.
I definitely got the sense that while they call it eyeball soup, because there are only a couple of eyeballs in there,
right.
I more got the sense that there's probably an animal whose whole entire skull then boiled in the soup.
Okay. But wouldn't that be eyeball soup? Like, wouldn't that be like...
I feel like it's probably more properly called skull soup, but the eyeballs are like a fun part.
Okay. It's kind of like matzo ball soup in my mind. Exactly. Like, there's not enough matzo balls in my brain, but I'm not like... I got one matzo ball. This isn't matzo ball soup.
Yeah, no.
Like, I like chicken noodle soup to have lots of noodles.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's a
misnomer. I think I would be disappointed in eyeball soup.
Yeah.
And then the monkey brains. I'm like, because the monkey brains also chilled. Looked a little, they were chilled. Monkey brains. That's true. They were chilled. But they also looked a little blended.
Yes. I mean, they were, I'm pretty sure, whipped cream and...
Mixed in with the brain.
There wasn't whipped cream.
In actuality,
they were whipped cream and like red dye number five or whatever.
I thought you were.
I think that's why they looked the way they did, as opposed to because it did look as though they had taken the brains out, scooped them around, and then poured them back in.
That's what. I was thinking they were mixing it with spice or something. You know.
Which, you know, I mean, you don't want your monkey brains to be bland.
Maybe you should mix it with eyeball soup. But one of the things I was thinking about going briefly back to Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it with Soylent Green and, of course, with the gelatinous goo of Snowpiercer. Why didn't, in the Star Trek universe, they eat tribbles? Like, that seems to me, a life form that's able to replicate itself so quickly. Would you want to eat
really
a tribble?
They're really cute. And we do generally have a rule that we don't eat cute animals.
Cows are kind of cute.
Cows are pretty dumb looking.
I don't know, they have the cute little cow eyes.
No. And honestly, we've done, like, what's interesting, well, there's a cultural thing. I'd say that I think that we have decided, and I'm not sure which came first, that the animals we eat are not the cute animals. You know what I mean? Where it's not necessarily, because you may be right, that under other circumstances, cows might be cute.
Rabbits.
We don't really eat rabbits.
I have. Hasenpfeffer.
I've eaten
Hasenpfeffer.
It's not like a... thing that people do a lot of.
Go to Germany and you get Hasenpfeffer.
Yeah, well, you know, do they keep a lot of rabbits as pets?
I don't know, but
probably
they're
not.
Cute.
They're probably like, oh, those dumb rabbits.
Those dumb, ugly rabbits.
Plus, how much food could you get out of a tribble? They're not very big.
Right, but
you'd have to eat a lot of them.
Yeah, but they reproduce like crazy. Did you not see that episode?
You still have to kill. I feel like it's probably a lot of work for not a lot of meat, which is why they don't eat them.
Well, do you say that about meatballs? Because I would figure, like, you would get enough meat out of a tribble to, like, make a meatball. And a meatball is worth it.
Yeah, but, like, a meatball, like, there's a whole cow. Like, you're getting other things.
Right, but you get, like, a whole room.
I wouldn't do that much work for one meatball.
Well, you
gotta
hire
shave
somebody.
Them. Who knows how much meat is actually there?
Maybe. It
who knows if it's
all
tasty?
Gristle.
It
could be
gristle. But it could be filled with tiny little bones.
Maybe. That is a question.
Yeah.
But maybe you could breed a tribble so they're hairless tribbles.
Right.
So they're just kind of like
walking
little meatballs.
That's, again... I feel like... There's a lot of problems
here. Would tribbles have eyes to make eyeball soup?
Exactly. I don't know.
How many parts are there in a tribble? Can you make a stew out of a tribble? I know.
All of this just turns my stomach. This makes me feel terrible.
Because they're cute?
And they're, I mean, they're just, they're little. They're so harmless. You know what it makes me feel like? It makes me feel like that Futurama episode where they eat the poplars.
And?
And then it turns out that they're little baby Omicronians, and it's awful.
What about ducks? Are ducks cute?
Not really. Ducks are pretty awful.
See, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to figure out a cute animal.
I'm telling you, we don't eat. We either have decided that the animals we eat are not very cute, or we don't eat cute animals.
Yeah, I guess we don't eat veal anymore.
No. We try not to eat veal.
Yeah.
But again, baby versions of dumb other dumb animals is fine. But we don't eat dogs. We don't eat cats.
All right.
Yeah.
Do we have a sponsor this week?
Oh, right. Yes. Let's pause briefly for our sponsor, Spacely Sprockets, family-owned, fine family-owned business since the 21st century. For all of your finest sprockets needs, Spacely Sprockets, they're out of this world.
They're my favorite sprockets.
And they're really great sprockets. They really are.
I don't know what I would do without their sprockets.
I don't know either. I would not get off this crazy thing.
There's two genres that we normally tackle.
Yes.
That we haven't tackled yet.
Well, because I know who wins, hands down, who wins food in fantasy.
I suspect it's going to be somebody with RR in their name.
No.
No.
No, he comes close, though.
Wait, which RR are we talking about now?
Well, George R.R. Martin comes very close.
Oh, I thought he was going to win. I thought he would be the winner.
No.
You're surprising me.
There is a hands down, very clear, obvious. Okay. No.
Oh.
J.K. Rowling.
Oh.
Because the food in the Harry Potter universe is amazing. It's so amazing. Let me tell you how amazing it is. It's so amazing, they built it in real life.
Are you talking about the jelly beans?
Not just Bernie Bots or no, what's Bots ever every flavor beans, which yes do also exist. Butterbeer, chocolate frogs. There is an entire amusement park that largely just exists that you can get Harry Potter food in the real world.
So you can get diabetes.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry. Okay.
Like it's hands down. I mean, one, because it's magical. Two, because it's so lovingly described. Three, because it all sounds so goddamn good. Butterbeer? Who does not want a big glass of goddamn butterbeer?
But I don't want to eat, you know, booger jelly beans.
Well, you take your chances. They may not all, they're not all boogers. They're every flavor.
I'm flabbergasted for two reasons. One, that you didn't pick, you know, Song of Ice and Fire.
A Song of Ice and Fire, while the food is lovingly described.
Tremendously.
To
the nth degree. You might as well be, like, maybe he's partnered with Julia Childs.
Every single meal is described, but it's all regular food.
All right.
I mean, okay, aurochs rather than cow. Rashers of bacon, which is always, that's always nice to hear. Trenchers of bread. Yeah. He's great with those.
With the fancy words.
Fancy
old words.
It's just
it's
steak
bacon.
And bacon and bread. And a bit of a bowl of brown.
But I do, I'm also like, you know, because I didn't read past the first book of Harry Potter. So I'm like, what? There's all this conversation about food?
You really, wait. You have not read past the first book?
No.
You should do that. You should really get on that.
I hear, quick. I hear he's the boy that lived.
What the hell, brother? One.
Well,
I mean, you know, or you know what?
It's just a kid's book.
Just
bring it, Internet.
God.
Bring it.
Oh, God. Oh, God. And I mean, now our numbers.
It's no Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Drop, like, it's also good with food, but really just.
It's no Hobbit.
Somehow the Lion.
Bring it, Internet.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe convinces all that Turkish delight was yummy.
Actually, what I should have said, it's no Silver Chair.
Oh, my God.
Or The Last Battle.
Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you?
I know. Well, or no, just those are awful books.
Just wait, like, 5 or 6 years, and then your entire life will be Harry Potter for a very long time.
I know.
Once you're son reaches his majority.
Well, but here's the thing. When my son reaches the majority, there'll be something else.
No, there's always going to be Harry Potter.
That's true. No, I yes, everyone. I have not read past
you
the
really
first
should.
Book. I know, and I've thought about it.
And let me tell you, in all the other books, lots of talk about food. All
right.
So much food.
Good food.
Pumpkin this and...
But I do think... But we brought up Lord of the Rings. Actually, we brought...
Does anyone eat in that thing?
Oh, God. That's all Samwise Gamgee does. It's like...
But what does he eat? I don't know. I don't remember.
Like this bread.
Yeah, they have lambus
like hunting
bread.
He's hunting for fish all the time. He's trying to make stew, and they're smoking up weed all the time. They're hungry people.
They're hungry people, but I feel like there's a lot of talk about lambus bread, and then just general talk about, oh, we're going to eat food. And that was it.
But food's important.
It's not that important. It's not important unless you're telling me what you're eating.
Maybe you and I have different definitions of what is important. But I
lambus bread. Whatever.
So
all
right, so we're going J.K. Rowling.
I think the internet will agree. J.K. Rowling hands down wins any conversation about food on the internet. If you can get through a Harry Potter book without being like, I want to eat all of those things, I don't know who you are.
Willy Wonka. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That is all right.
Well, though, it's clearly speculative fiction.
Clearly speculative fiction.
Is it? Well, yeah, it's fantasy. It's fantasy. Yes. The Oompa Loompas put it over into fantasy and not science fiction. So that is.
I mean, I'll
clearly,
give you that.
Clearly, a book.
The
where
Thanksgiving
food
gum is
that's, important.
That was one I always wanted.
That would be good.
I'm not that big into fancy chocolate, so none of the other stuff really meant anything to me.
But the stream of chocolate would be pretty cool. Would be pretty fly.
But that
and I would be smart enough to not fall in it.
Yeah. Thanksgiving gum in a row.
Yeah.
Once they can figure out the blueberry pie bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's always the problem. Once they work out the
kinks. You spit it out.
Yeah, no, but
I would, because I'm not a big blueberry pie fan.
See,
be
I
like,
do like my blueberry pie.
It would be out. But clearly, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, food...
That is a good point.
Is important.
Very important.
In fact, I'm going to argue it's more important than in Harry Potter.
No.
It's the fucking plot.
Who is going to inherit it? It's not more important.
It's going to...
Nope.
Which is more important, Voldemort or Butterbeer?
It is a close... Those are... That is...
No, it's not
that
close.
That is like a...
Having not read it...
On that one.
Having not read it,
Having read it all, I'm going to tell you. That's a coin toss. If you came to me and you said... I'm going to rewrite the Harry Potter books, and I'm going to cut out one thing, either Butterbeer or Voldemort. I would not have an answer to that question. I wouldn't know how you'd write it.
Wouldn't
without
there
it.
Be no plot without Voldemort? Where if you cut
without
the
Butterbeer,
chocolate factory,
there'd be no Butterbeer.
Yeah, if you cut the chocolate factory,
there would not be the
sequel to Willy Wonka.
I'm not moving
that
on.
Would
this.
Be. Right.
Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator.
Snore.
Yeah, no, it wasn't very good. It was no James and the Giant Peach.
Again, another thing of food.
Food, yes,
well,
but
a
I mean,
stupid
it's,
peach.
It's a peach.
It's
it was
peach.
Just a peach.
Which brings us to comic books.
And there's like no food.
No one ever eats.
No one ever eats. Or if they eat, it's just the food part is rarely discussed.
I'm trying to like.
And I can't even think of like food-based villains.
I can think of one.
Is there a cake maker? There's Superman or Batman must have fit in a cake. Fought a cake maker.
I'm the baker.
There must have been somewhere in the Silver Age.
I do have one character who, his ability is consumption.
Okay. Matter Eater Lad?
Matter Eater Lad.
But that's not food.
Well, it is to him.
Everything is food
Everything
to him.
Everything is, I mean, like the most brilliant character in the entire canon
of comic
books.
How is there not a
books?
Mutant who makes food?
You're kind of dissing Matter Eater Lad right now.
A little bit, yeah.
Because
that name is really dumb.
But it perfectly describes his powers.
It does, but his
like
powers
Superman
are also
doesn't
dumb.
Describe his powers. It's like I'm super. Well, super what?
Superman.
Yeah. So, like, does that mean like you're a really good date? Where Matter Eater Lad, he literally eats all matter.
He does, but it's pretty dumb.
Yeah, but you say that. But one time they were in a jail.
Uh-huh.
And he chewed through the bars and got
him out.
Of course
he would. Why would you put a guy named Matter Eater Lad in a jail?
No one expects Matter Eater Lad. That's why. Because he looks like you and me. He could be you and me if we could digest concrete
and then he
steel.
Introduces himself and he says, "Hi, I'm Matter Eater Lad." And you think, well, now I know exactly what your thing is, and I'm going to, I don't know, knock you out
maybe,
so you can't
maybe,
eat.
Maybe when they hear Matter Eater Lad, they think he's Matter Reader Lad, and he's like, oh, he
consumes,
I feel
like that's dumb.
Like,
I feel like
news.
You're just announcing what your weakness is.
That's true.
As well.
That's true.
But yeah, no. I'm really trying to, I'm trying to rack my
Some,
brain.
A mutant that bake, makes cakes,
Or is there someone who must have made food.
There was I'm going to have a side tangent because I just thought of it. There was an episode of Torchwood in the first season, I believe, where this factory was selling meat at really strange, like, good prices. And it turns out it was, like, a giant alien whale they were carving up. And, like, its body would, like, regenerate.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was creepy.
It's creepy, but that's cool.
Yeah. But back to comic books.
Yeah.
I guess clearly food is not important. Well, there's booze for Iron Man, but that's not food.
There's shawarma.
Well, for a while, the Wally West Flash, he had to consume... He had to eat a lot of food.
That's right.
In order to maintain his speed or his abilities.
Or his,
But it's a little fuzzy because it's like, wait, so you wouldn't actually lose his speed.
No, well, it was for his strength because his metabolism was running so high. Yeah, that was the thing, which makes sense.
So he would just lay down, like, I can't run fast because I'm
hungry? Well, he'd be tired. I mean, it's like Michael Phelps.
Yeah, but Michael Phelps isn't, you know, imbued with, like, mythical powers.
Pretty damn close.
Okay,
I
won 20 gold medals. Well, anyone can win 20 gold medals. I was watching ping pong today. I could get a gold medal in ping pong.
I bet you couldn't. So there was some Twitter jokester. I hate the Olympics, but there was some Twitter jokester that said they should, for all Olympic sports, they should include an average person for reference to exactly fix that.
I think that would be a really good idea.
Oh yeah, no, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I can't play ping pong.
But I mean, listen, Michael Phelps consumes something like 40,000 calories a day.
Yeah, so do I. It's all butterbeer, but
I hope you're not consuming 40,000 calories.
I have a large stomach.
Right.
Yeah.
But he has to do that because he's burning basically 38,000 calories every day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
The Wally West Flash was probably burning, would it be burning through like 500,000 calories an hour or something ridiculous.
So this is how you defeat Wally West. You close all the restaurants and the grocery stores.
Yeah, eventually his body's just going to give out.
And he just can't run.
Well, not that he can't run. He's going to pass out in the same way that, like, if I starved if I starved you for 2 weeks, you're going to pass out. Your body's going to say, I don't have enough energy to continue.
You wouldn't do that, though.
I mean...
Not really. It's hypothetical.
It depends on what you did to deserve it.
Oh, that's true.
So let's just not rule anything out.
So Wally West was at that. But I think I feel like he was the only speedster.
The only speedster that they dealt with that.
And then they kind of left that behind.
Yeah. He got on
midway through.
With the Speed Force and then bing, bam, boom, it takes care of all that.
And then, but I did think that was the most interesting, you know, because you kind of need some.
Right.
We
are forgetting one of our more current popular superheroes, Deadpool, and his love of chimichangas.
That's true. He does like the chimichanga.
Which is great. I mean, the chimichanga is a pretty great food.
There are worse foods.
There are. Well, not for your health. There are very few worse foods for your health than a deep-fried burrito.
I don't know. I believe steel would not be good for your health. I am not mad at you.
I'm pretty sure that steel is probably better for your health than a chimichanga.
Yeah. Well, if we're talking snack food, the Martian Manhunter used to love Oreos in the 80s and 90s in the what I refer to as the Bwahaha Justice League years.
Oh, those were good Justice League
years. Yeah, the Giffen and DeMatteis years. He would always be sneaking in Oreos. They had him eating Oreos. And at a certain point, they changed that.
Right.
Because I think...
It's undignified.
Well, no. They changed it to a different, like, made-up name cookie.
Oreos were like, hey.
You're like, hey, man. You're using our trademark, buddy.
Yep.
But they changed. I think in the cartoon, they occasionally referred to his snacking.
Right.
I feel like
there's
Oreos.
Some snackers, but not a lot of...
It's mostly used for, like, humor.
Yes.
Humor or your weakness. But there's no, like...
But, yeah. And, again, I'm still really struck on that, like, there really has to have been some cake-based, baking, cookie-based DC villain in, like, 1963.
Yeah.
That seems like a very obvious thing that they would have done.
Maybe, yeah. DC, you gone and fucked up in 1963.
Yeah, what happened, guys?
Come on,
Baker. Or, you know, with someone out there...
Or, like, the deli. The deli man.
The deli man with slices and
he's, like, throwing pastrami. Yeah. pastrami-based crime. That's messed pastrami. Up, man. Pastrami's good. I'm trying to... Like... But I mean, I get, like, why you're not... But I think there should be, like, a food-based hero or villain.
There should be. A hero ain't nothing but a sandwich, man.
I feel like that's the comic book you should write.
Well, it was, that was a kid's book in my era. It was a YA book.
Here's a, here's a question, and then you know, maybe we'll shut the fuck up. Sesame Street. It's clearly, it's speculative fiction.
Clearly, yes.
Cookie Monster. Cookies are very important to Cookie Monster.
They are. They're very important. Also, Swedish Chef.
That's right. He never actually cooked anything.
No, he tried to. He was not very good.
I don't... Or was he actually a chef?
No. He had the hat, though. And they called him the Swedish Chef.
I could get a hat. What I'm suggesting is perhaps he might have been a spy. That's the canon I have in my head.
For Sweden.
Yeah.
Our bitter rivals.
You don't think Sweden has, like, an intelligence force?
If Sweden has a clandestine force, uh-huh. and if it is more than four guys...
Yeah.
It's entirely devoted to finding out what they're doing in Norway.
I thought they were like, you know...
I feel like Sweden and Norway, either one, they're dedicated to finding out what they're doing in Norway, or two, making sure that they're not Norway.
You know what?
I feel like there's a lot of like, are we Norway or are they Norway? I'm not sure which one is which.
And then there's Finland.
And then there's Finland. And who knows? And I know Ibsen's from one, and Strindberg's from the other... And that actually makes sense to their, like, national...
Oh, my God. Which ones?
Their national spirits.
Well, Ibsen's got to be Norwegian, right?
Maybe. He might be Swedish.
No, I think...
You think Ibsen's Norwegian and... Strindberg is Swedish?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Hey, we have degrees in theater.
My master's is in writing theater. It is not... Reading theater. All right. I feel like we have perhaps exhausted.
Yeah. Once
food.
we started talking about theater, conversation's done.
Yeah. Everyone was like, I didn't tune in to listen about theater. I'm listening to talk about superheroes. Ibsen's not a superhero. What issue is Marvel Ibsen appearing?
He is not a superhero.
He should be.
He should be, but he is not.
I'm sure in like some Batman issue, 1963, you fought the evil Ibsen. Yeah, they didn't fight the deli man or the baker.
I don't think they made it to Ibsen.
I absolutely agree with you. I cannot believe really, that there wasn't in somewhere in Batman's rogues gallery.
There's got to be an evil baker.
Grant Morrison, get on that.
Yes.
You probably know. Is there a baker character?
Tweet at us, please.
Please, Grant Morrison,
please tweet at us.
Tell us, because we don't know. All right, then.
All right.
Until next time, then.
Until next time?
You want some of my mangoes?
When you say it like that, no. No, I do not.
All right. All right, bye, everybody. Right. Oh, and hey, if you have any questions or, you know, you want to fight me about Harry Potter, you can tweet us at Deep Cut Nerd Pod on the Twitter.
On your Twitter machines.
And thanks, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi, for making us sound good.
Hey, listeners. Heidi here with an editor's update. There is one evil baker villain, but one so obscure that he is known almost exclusively to people who were little girls during the early 1980s. He is half of the greatest food-based hero-villain duo of all time. That hero is Strawberry Shortcake. She and her friends, Raspberry Tart, Apple Dumpling, Lemon Meringue, and the rest of the gang were forever tormented by the peculiar Purple Pie Man. The Purple Pie Man was a skinny old dude with a thin, evil mustache, a big purple chef's hat, and a scary smile. He lived in a tower made of baking supplies. Basically, he was always threatening to bake and eat our spunky, fruity heroes. So there you have it. Also, Henrik Ibsen was from Norway and August Strindberg was from Sweden, and they both make great comic book characters. Okay, bye everyone.
If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake. Hatcha-doo.